who is traveling with Nityanand Prabhu, Damodara Pandit Prabhu, Jagarananda Prabhu, and Mukunda Prabhu. There is a place not far from here, a bathing ghat. Mahaprabhu gave his danda, sannyas danda, to Sri Nityananda Prabhu and asked him to hold it while he took his bath. Nityananda Prabhu took that danda and he broke it in three pieces and threw it in the river. Nityananda Prabhu ki! Sometime later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Nityananda Prabhu, "Give me my danda." And Nityananda Prabhu said, "Ah, Mahaprabhu, you know what happened. You were in such ecstasy that you fell and your danda broke in three places and I don't know where it went." But Sri Gaurasundara, he understood. And although inside his heart he was very pleased, in order to set a proper example externally, he became angry. "You are interfering with my ashram, with my sannyas responsibilities. Therefore, I will not go to Jagannath Puri with any of you. Either you go before me or after me. I will go alone." Why did Nityananda Prabhu break the danda? For several reasons. One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from the Mayavad Sampradaya of Shankaracharya because he took sannyas only for one reason, so that people would give him proper respect and hear what he had to say, so that he would have greater influence to purify people's lives and give them love of God. And the Shankarite Sampradaya was most respected and recognized at that time. So it was most efficient for his preaching purposes. And there they give sannyas with one danda, ekadanda, because they consider everything is one. You are Narayan. When you take sannyas, you become one with Narayan. But the Vaishnava sannyasis, they have three danda, which represent that we are never equal to Narayan, but we are eternally the servant of Narayan. That with our body, our mind, our words, and ultimately our life, we are eternally engaged in the service of Lord Narayan. So Nityananda Prabhu did not like to see an ekadanda. He wanted Mahaprabhu to have a tridanda, Vaishnava sannyas. But also, and more important, he was thinking that there are four different stages of sannyas. Bahudak, what is Kutichak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. During Bahudak, Kutichak, and Parivrajakacharya, one must carry danda. But at the Paramahamsa stage, you are above all the rules and regulations. So he was thinking that Mahaprabhu, he is beyond a Paramahamsa. In fact, why should he renounce anything? I cannot tolerate seeing him in this mood of a renunciate. He is the supreme enjoyer. Everything is meant for his pleasure. He should not give up everything. He should accept everything. So with this mood of love, he broke the danda. But Mahaprabhu, wanting to carefully show the proper example to others, he went ahead to Jagannath Puri. As I explained, when he came into the Jagannath temple, upon seeing the beautiful Lord of form of Jagannath, he saw his beloved Krishna standing in his threefold bending form playing upon his flute. And in the Mahabhava of Sri Radhika, he fell to the ground, weeping, tears trembling. He went unconscious in such a state of ecstasy that there were no symptoms of life remaining within his body. Meanwhile, the guards, they were thinking he is just some sort of pretender trying to get some recognition by showing these symptoms. So they were ready to beat him with sticks and kick him out of the temple. But at that time, the guru for the king and the chief priest of Jagannath temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he happened to come and he saw this beautiful, young, golden-colored sannyasi laying on the floor. And he could see that he was in some extraordinary state of trance. So he told the guards, bring him to my home. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was brought here to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma, studying all the intricate scriptures, could understand that this was some sort of very, very deep state of the highest trance of love of God. Just, there were no symptoms of life, but he put a fine cotton swab in front of his nose and he saw the finest particles slightly moving, which means there was still life in his body. And he was trying all the remedies according to the scriptures to get him back to his external consciousness, but nothing worked. At that time, Nityanand Prabhu, Mukunda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit and Damodar Pandit came to Jagannath Puri. And when they came to the Jagannath temple, they met with Gopinath Acharya, who was an intimate relative of Sarvabhauma. And Gopinath Acharya was originally from Navadvip. In fact, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was originally from Navadvip. Do you remember 3 days back we went to a place called Vidyanagar? That was the birthplace of, and residence of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was an incarnation of Brihaspati, the priest of the devatas. And he knew that in this incarnation, he was to become a Mayavadi scholar. But he didn't want to be in Navadvip during the time of Mahaprabhu Nimai Pandit's Leela. So he left Navadvip to come to Jagannath Puri because he didn't want to be preaching this philosophy while Nimai was doing his Leela. So he came here. Anyways, Gopinath Acharya met with Nityananda Prabhu. They were old friends, Mukunda and the others. And where he said, where is Lord Gauranga? I've heard he has taken sannyas. Where is he? He is somewhere in Jagannath Puri. We are looking for him. And then they heard people speaking that one beautiful young golden sannyasi fell to the floor of the temple unconscious and he was brought to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So they came here. And there they saw Lord Gauranga laying on the ground in a state of trance, of ecstatic love. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he sent them to have the darshan of Jagannath. He sent them to the sea to have their bath. Then they came back and they began a beautiful, loud kirtan. Everybody with great feeling and devotion chanting, many hours of such tumultuous chanting of the holy names, Mahaprabhu leaped to the air chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Actually, he was chanting, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare.
Love. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has never seen such high state of pure realization. So he took the dust from the feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and he said, I am your servant. And he asked Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he told, you take him to the sea, give him bath, take him to see Jagannath, but you stay with him, make sure he's all right. And I have a nice place One of my relatives, my aunt, she has a house close by. Let him stay there. Anyways, Sarvabhauma asked Gopinathacharya, his son-in-law, brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, from which sampradaya did he take sannyas? He said he took sannyas from one great sannyasi named Keshav Bharati. Sarvabhauma said, this is a second-class sampradaya. He should take initiation from Saraswati sampradaya. I can arrange for this. Gopinathacharya said, what is this nonsense you are speaking? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't require any high-class or low-class sampradaya. He is supreme. He is beyond all these ritualistic regulations. Sarvabhauma, what are you nonsense you're talking? He's the Supreme Lord. According to the Shastra, Vishnu's name is Triyuga, which means he only appears in three yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. In Kali Yuga, he does not come. But then Gopinathacharya began to explain, according to the Shastra, that in Kali Yuga, he appears, but not as God, but in the role of a devotee. And this is why he is called Triyuga. He is a covered incarnation. He does not come to declare himself the Supreme Godhead, but to teach by his example, he comes in the role of a devotee. And he began to establish on the basis of so much scripture that Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Lord. From Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavat, the various Puranas. But Sarvabhauma and his assistants, they could not accept. And this is very important. That no one should accept anyone as being Bhagavan unless they are properly endorsed by the scripture. Sarvabhauma's questions and his doubts were a great lesson to all of us. Today, especially in this land of India, there are thousands of Bhagavans, of avatars, who declare themselves to be God. And if they can perform some meager, mystic demonstrations, some gold, some ashes, reading someone's mind, healing someone's disease. You can buy gold in the goldsmith store. You can get ashes from any fire. You can get your disease cured by some doctor. These things are not the work of a Bhagavan, of a god. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. He established 16,108 forms and lived with all of his queens. Kurma, avatar, appeared in a tortoise form so many hundreds and thousands of miles long. Matsyavatar was a fish millions of miles long. Ramchandra, we see these great avatars, they do extraordinary work. Anyways, unless a person is established through the scripture that God comes in a certain time, in a certain way, for the certain purpose, no one should be accepted. But even after citing so much scripture, Sarvabhauma was not able to understand. So Gopinathacharya said to him right here in this very house, he said, Sarvabhauma, until you receive the mercy of the Lord, you will never understand who he is. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached Mahaprabhu and told him that you are very young, only 24 years old, and you're so beautiful, so handsome. How will you ever maintain the vows of a sannyasi? It's very difficult in this age of Kali Yuga. Unless you are thoroughly learned in the science of Vedanta. So let me teach you Vedanta, because I am the foremost teacher of Vedanta in all of India. In fact, coming to this home, great sannyasis, renunciates, tapasis, learned scholars, they would all learn from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, from all east, west, north, and south, they would come. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you are so kind to me, please teach me Vedanta, protect me. You're so humble. And the devotees, they were so angry with Sarvabhauma. What nonsense, he wants to teach you. Mahaprabhu said, no, he has fatherly affection for me. He wants to help me. Why should you criticize him? Let him render the service. So in the Jagannath temple, for 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya declared the philosophy of monism to Mahaprabhu, and he sat and he listened. And after 7 days, Sarvabhauma said, I have described to you such high truths, and you have not asked a single question. You haven't even responded to anything I have said. I do not know whether you are listening or not listening, understanding or not understanding. What is this? And Gauranga Mahaprabhu replied that the teachings of Vedavyas, as he has written in the Vedanta Sutra, are as clear and easy to understand as the sun in noonday. But your explanations are like a dark, thick cloud covering all the true meanings of the words of Vedavyas. Hariva! Hariva! Sarvabhauma was not accustomed to people telling him like this. You know who you're talking to? People from far and wide come to learn at my feet, and you're saying like this? Yes, I am saying like this. If you have a better explanation, you tell me what the Vedanta Sutra is saying. Mahaprabhu began to explain in so many wonderful ways, not even touching a single way that Sarvabhauma. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder. He had never heard such an explanation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the Atmarama verse. Actually, what happened is after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained everything so nicely, Sarvabhauma wanted to protect himself, so he began to explain one Atmarama verse. And Mahaprabhu explained it in his own way, in such wonderful narration that Sarvabhauma could understand that I am completely defeated and my philosophy is completely defeated. And no one could speak like this unless they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mahaprabhu revealed his beautiful form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Six-armed form. After Sarvabhauma surrendered to Mahaprabhu, he appeared with the bow and arrow of Ramchandra. And then he had the two hands holding the flute of Krishna and two hands holding the danda and the water pot, Kamandalu, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered his life. The next day in the early morning, Lord Gauranga came to this very house and he knocked on the door. And Sarvabhauma was sleeping. And Mahaprabhu heard the first words out of Sarvabhauma's mouth was, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
And he came to the door. And Mahaprabhu said, I have brought some prasad for you, Sarvabhaumaji. Immediately he bowed down to the prasad and began to eat it. And Mahaprabhu said, you are a first-class Paka Brahman? How is it you're eating prasad like this? According to the rules and regulations, until you first take your bath and wash your mouth and do your achman and perform your rituals, you cannot take prasad. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, he quoted from a shastra, that Lord Krishna's Mahaprasad is so sacred and so worshipable that it should be taken immediately when received, even if it is spoiled and comes from a distant place, without discrimination, one should immediately honor that prasad. Shri Mahaprasad ki jai! And Mahaprabhu became so happy. He said, today I have seen the fulfillment of my mission of coming to this earth, that such a hard-hearted, dry, impersonalistic philosopher like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, today he has recognized the glories of Krishna's Mahaprasad. There are so many stories of pastimes that took place at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. those wonderful kirtans here. Sometimes, often, Sarvabhauma would invite Mahaprabhu here for prasad. And he would make so many wonderful preparations. One time Mahaprabhu saw there were hundreds of preparations, opulent, wonderful, big piles, mountains of prasad with ghee and all sorts of opulent ingredients. Jagannath's prasad. Sometimes he would cook himself. One time Sarvabhauma invited Mahaprabhu here, and he invited him in the morning, and he came at noon, and there was so much cooked, Mahaprabhu said, it would take 10 Brahmins 10 days to cook this much prasad. And you and your wife cooked it all within a few hours? How is this possible? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, my dear Lord, it was cooked by he who it is meant to be eaten by. I only collected the ingredients. Hariyo! Krishna is the doer of all activities. No devotee will ever accept credit for any activity he does, but gives all credit to the Lord and offers all to the Lord. Mahaprabhu said, I'm so happy that your Thakuraji, Krishna, is eating so nicely. Now you just give me some little boiled vegetable, like Malati Swami, give me some little boiled vegetable. And let me have that, some rice. He said, no, this is all meant for you. You just try everything. Today you try everything that the Lord has eaten. So in this way, Mahaprabhu would regularly come to this house to accept Sarvabhauma's prasad. One time the son-in-law, Amoga, he was a very critical person. He loved to criticize others. He said, Sarvabhauma knew that this person is so envious that he'll spoil the whole prasad of Mahaprabhu if he starts criticizing him. So Sarvabhauma was standing with a stick to keep his son-in-law away while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating prasad. And as Lord Chaitanya would start eating from each of his little clay cups, his bowls, as soon as anything was half empty, Sarvabhauma would fill it up again. This is the way he would serve. And he would keep asking Mahaprabhu, eat more, 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 please take more, more, more. And Mahaprabhu, only to satisfy Sarvabhauma's desires, was eating so much nice prasad. At one time, Sarvabhauma went to get more, and just at that moment of unawareness, Amoga ran into the room, and he started criticizing Lord Chaitanya. What type of nonsense sannyasi are you, eating all these rich, opulent preparations of Mahaprasad? You should be ashamed of yourself. Haribo.
Haribo.
At that time, Sarvabhauma saw his son and her son-in-law and took a stick and went to attack him, to beat him. And Amoga, he ran out of the store for his life. And Sarvabhauma was running after him, but he couldn't catch him. So he came back and he bowed. And meanwhile, while Sarvabhauma was running after Amoga, the wife of Sarvabhauma in the kitchen was beating on her chest, saying, may my daughter become a widow. Meant, why should this person even live after the offense he has made? So the wife and Sarvabhauma both fell at Mahaprabhu's feet, weeping, we are so sorry. We invited you to our house only to be insulted and offended. And Mahaprabhu, he said, no problem. Just give me more prasad, I'll be happy. So they became very happy that he would take more prasad. Anyways, shortly after this, Amoga contracted cholera. And he was on his deathbed. And Sarvabhauma somehow or other, he didn't mind. But Mahaprabhu, when he heard this news, he told Sarvabhauma, take me to Amoga's place. So he took him to Amoga, and Mahaprabhu put his hand over the chest, over the heart of Amoga. And he said, you are a Brahmin. You are the associate of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, pure devotee. How is it? A Brahmin's heart is meant to be the abode of Krishna. How is it that this envy has contaminated your heart? Give up this envy, rise and chant the holy names. At that time, Amoga was completely cured of his cholera, his heart was completely purified, and he rose and began to dance, chanting the holy name. And weeping, he began to chant and dance. Amoga began with his own hands slapping his own face. Mahaprabhu was saying, why are you doing like this? He said, because this mouth of mine has offended you in so many ways, although you are so merciful, you have given me love of God. And Mahaprabhu told him, because you are a dear associate of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, anyone who is intimately close, even as a relative to my devotees, I will give them my special mercy. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai! Although he was such an offensive person, because he was naturally dear to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Please understand, when Sarvabhauma and his wife were speaking ill about Amoga, they were not doing it out of hatred, but out of love for him, because they knew that for him to go on living in this offensive way, he was ruining his own spiritual life. They naturally loved him. So Lord Gauranga, to reciprocate with the love of Sarvabhauma, he gave pure love of God to Amoga. So many wonderful pastimes took place here in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Anyways, after Sarvabhauma left this world, the devotees of Mahaprabhu, after Lord Chaitanya left the world, out of separation, shortly after that, Nityananda Prabhu, Swarup Damodar, Gadadhar Pandit, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Srivas Thakur, many of the devotees, out of separation, they could not live any longer. So they left to return to the spiritual world to join Lord Chaitanya again. And some generations after, there was a lady named Sachi Devi. She was a princess, daughter of a king, but she had no interest in worldly affairs. It's a beautiful story, but she left everything and went to Vrindavan. And she approached some of the descendants of Rupa and Sanatan. And she fell at their feet and she became a great, great renunciate. She would sleep under different trees, beg for food, and was constantly hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So she came here to Jagannath Puri on the order of her gurus in Vrindavan. And she came to this place and she saw that due to the feelings of separation, the devotees were not very active. And the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the murtis that he worshipped were not being properly taken care of. So she reestablished the worship and she built a mat, an ashram here. Very nice. And there's a beautiful story. I'll summarize. But Lord Jagannath was very anxious to see her. So one night, it was a time when she was not able to go to see Jagannath. He created a flood of water from the river Ganges, coming from his lotus feet, and it came to here and picked up this Sachi Devi, and brought her, the current brought her right into Jagannath's altar. And when the pujaris woke up, they saw that she was inside. So they thought she had broken in or something. So they arrested her. And she was very humble. She was just accepting, this is Jagannath's kripa. He has taken me, now he's putting me in jail. But then Jagannath appeared in the minds of both the head pujari and the king and explained that I have created this flood of Ganges water and brought her to me myself. You could understand what a great devotee she is. You should all surrender to her and become her disciples. So the king surrendered and the head pujari also surrendered. And from that time she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. And this was her mother. The deities?
Ask the pujaris the story of the deities.
Mother Mohan, Rastigaraj, Radha Samasundar, Radha Vino, Radha Rama. Hi, Krishna.
And
Radha
Samasundar. Name Rastigaraj.
Bada, bada, kaunse?
Amma Rastigaraj.
Bangamori, puja wagera.
Stories of the Lord. Let us have a beautiful kirtan here.
Whatever I understood. He said that after 7 days of Vedanta recitation, Sarvabhauma, he had a desire to bath in the Ganges. So he couldn't go to Calcutta in Tribeni. So Ganga Mata, she manifested herself here, and it is called Sheta Ganga. This is called Sheta Ganga. After 7 days of recitation of Vedanta to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he was very sad. For one day he didn't eat anything. So he had a desire to take bath in Tribeni Ganga, which is in Calcutta, far away from Calcutta. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood his mind, so he fulfilled his desire. By the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Ganga Devi herself manifested here, and it is called Sheta Ganga. And Sheta Madhav. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he took bath. And the next day, when Mahaprabhu, he brought prasadam from Jagannath Puri, Jagannath, On that day, he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed his Shetabhuj, after taking prasadam. Hari Bol.
Jai Gaura Premanandi.